blessed birthday of the ninth Imam. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Our heartiest congratulations to all our dear listeners on a very auspicious occasion. Today is the 10th of Rajab, it's a blessed day in Islamic history, for it was on this day that was born the ninth infallible successor to the Almighty's last and greatest messenger to all mankind, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Stay with us for a special feature on the life and times of this immaculate personality. O Governor of Sistan, power and authority are the trust that God has put at your disposal in order to serve His servants. You ought to help your religious brethren. The only thing that lasts for you is virtue and good deeds, including your help to your brethren in faith. Beware, on the day of resurrection, God will question you since nothing is hidden from the Almighty. The passage which you just heard is not an admonition from the central government of the Islamic Republic of Iran in Tehran to the governor of the southeastern province of Sistan Balochistan on the border with Pakistan. Neither is it an order of a 17th century Safavid Shah in Isfahan to one of Iran's provinces on the strategic frontier of the then Mughal Empire of the Indian subcontinent. Nor is it a decree issued in Baghdad at the court of the Abbasid Caliph over 1,000 years ago to a governor of an outpost in Sijistan, as Sistan was often known in the early Islamic period. As a matter of fact, this short but highly expressive note preserved in the books of history is from the Prophet's city of Medina, and the one who dispatched it was a youthful descendant of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. To be more precise, he was the Holy Prophet's namesake and ninth infallible heir. Imam Muhammad al-Taqi, whose epithet al-Taqi or al-Jawad suggests he was the most pious and the most generous person of his age, and whose blessed birthday we celebrate every year on the 10th of Rajab. Born in the Prophet's city of Medina in 195 AH, corresponding to 811 AD, he was the only son of Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Riza, peace be upon him. And as predicted by the Holy Prophet, his mother was the pure and pious Nubian lady named Sabikat al-Zahab, which means gold ingot. He was hardly 8 years old when the divinely designated mantle of Imamat, or leadership of mankind, came to rest on his tender shoulders under martyrdom of his father in the city of Marv in distant Khorasan as a result of a fatal dose of poisoning administered by the crafty Ma'mun, the self-styled caliph of the usurper Abbasid regime. Here, it should be pointed out that when Imam Reza, peace be upon him, was leaving Medina for Khorasan, he was asked by one of his followers, "My master, God forbid, if something were to happen to you, to whom will authority belong?" The eighth Imam replied in a calm and composed manner, "To Abu Ja'far, that is my young son." When the surprised questioner indicated that the age of the boy was too young, the eighth Imam said with a smile, "Allah, may he be praised, raised Jesus, son of Mary, as a messenger, a prophet, and bringer of a revealed law, Sharia, to begin his mission, when his age was younger than that of my son, Abu Ja'far." In view of these undeniable facts, it will be repetitive to refer to the Holy Quran as proof of the imamate of the Holy Prophet's ninth infallible heir, especially Surah Maryam, in which God Almighty says that He granted the boy prophet Yahya, or John the Baptist, the book and wisdom, and made the virgin-born prophet, Jesus, peace be upon him, still an infant in the cradle, speak to the Israelites of the chastity of his mother, Mary, peace be upon her, whilst announcing his mission and the heavenly scripture entrusted to him. So did the governor of Sistan, to whom Imam Muhammad al-Taqi, peace be upon him, sent the admonishing letter, which we read to you earlier in our program, feel offended on receiving it? The answer is no, he didn't feel offended, and on the contrary, became a completely changed man, even before the Imam's admonishment had reached him. For the information of our listeners, the account of the incident as related by Ahmad bin Zakaria Saydalani is as follows. "It was the Hajj season and I was visiting Mecca from the distant land of Sistan. After performing the pilgrimage, I went to Imam Jawad, peace be upon him, to bid him farewell and informed him of my problems. I said the government has imposed heavy taxes which I cannot afford to pay, and I request you to write a letter to the governor asking him to be lenient towards me, since he is known to be a devotee of the Ahlul Bayt." The Imam obliged, and I took the letter, thanked the Imam, and started the long journey home. However, the news of this valuable letter had preceded my arrival in Sistan and reached the governor. He came forward to receive me, took the letter, kissed it, gently opened it and read it. He then treated me leniently as instructed and also behaved fairly with all other people. Did Imam Muhammad al-Taqi al-Jawad, peace be upon him, harbour any political ambitions? The answer is no. He was neither in need of revenues of Qom, Ray and Mazandaran, where those claiming to be his followers had inflicted repeated defeats on Abbasid armies. Nor did he require the treasuries of Egypt and North Africa, which were turning into centres of activities for the cause of the Prophet's Ahlul Bayt or household, peace be upon them. Those in doubt should reflect on his refusal to order the governors of Bahrain, Nishabur and several other provinces, as well as the chief Qazi of Kufa and the prime minister of the Abbasid realm, all of whom regarded him as the Prophet's ninth rightful successor, to pull off a coup and hand over power to him. Politics, especially the dirty politics in which caliphs, kings, presidents and prime ministers indulge, in their pursuit of short-lived pomp and power by deceiving the gullible masses, held no attractions for Imam Jawad, peace be upon him, whose God-given spiritual realm was far beyond the ken of his enemies. At the same time, Imam Jawad, peace be upon him, was magnanimous in the mould of his great ancestor, the Prophet's first divinely designated vicegerent, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, who never withheld an answer whenever those that had deprived him of his political right of leadership of the Ummah approached him for a solution to the mess that they had created. This magnanimity of the ninth Imam could be understood by his inscribing of the famous talisman, Hirz al-Jawad, that is widely used till this day as protection from harm, on request of Ma'mun, the assassin of his father, when the latter was proceeding on a campaign against the Byzantine Empire. How could the Prophet's rightful successor withhold truth, even if its disclosure could make the enemies of humanity more rancorous of realities? He enlightened the Ummah during his 17-year mission that ended abruptly at the age of 25 years in Baghdad, where he reposes in eternal peace to this day besides his grandfather, Imam Musa al-Kazim, peace be upon him, in the gold-plated twin-dome shrine at Qazimain, which is thronged by pilgrims day and night throughout the year. Whilst there is no trace of even the grave of his assassin, Mu'tasim, the self-styled Abbasid Caliph. For every true Muslim, the holy city of Medina, his birthplace, brings to mind the spectacle of Imam Jawad, peace be upon him, his first encounter as a preteen orphan with Ma'mun. How he stood boldly as the caparisoned horses and the caliph's entourage approached and had to halt before him. How Ma'mun tried to test his knowledge by dispatching his trained falcon and then concealing in his palm the fish it had fetched and asking the young imam to provide an answer. Likewise, Baghdad, the place of martyrdom of Imam Jawad, peace be upon him, brings to mind how the boy imam, when pitted with the Mu'tazilite ideologue, Yahya ibn Aksam, in a jurisprudential debate that was easily won by the Prophet's descendant to the amazement of the Caliph and his courtiers. In short, Baghdad, which long ceased to have any memories of the accursed Abbasids, continues to be the spiritual capital of the seventh and ninth Imams of the Ahlul Bayt. Peace be upon them.